Joined in the studio right now by Kristen Smith of the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce, because it is time for the Short and Sweet Business Beat. How are you?
I'm great, Aaron. Again, like last week, I don't know who coined them the lazy days of summer, because things have been really busy and
really buzzing, yeah.
And certainly heating up. I don't have any reading. I will have to tune into Ms. Brown's segment so I can know what I need to read. There are only 2 weeks left of the summer reading program, so I need to play catch up. And so it means that summer is drawing to a close,
right?
But things are heating up. The town of Chapel Hill is working hard. Our members are working hard, and the chamber is trying to keep up with everybody. So so lots going on. Right now, what's on my mind is the town of Chapel Hill's revamp of the land use management ordinance. So, people say, what in the heck is LUMO?
LUMO
is the abbreviation, but it's basically a document that the town uses to figure out how and what and where we build things. And so we're excited about some of the potential changes, some of them including allowing beds and breakfast in Chapel Hill. I don't know. Have you, in your travels ever?
I think you and I might have talked about this once or twice.
Maybe once or twice.
Maybe a dozen times.
Over the period of...
B&Bs are so cool to have in, especially in like smallish college historical towns like this, and we don't have them in Chapel Hill. So.
It's an opportunity to preserve historic property, an opportunity to bring visitors downtown, an opportunity to take some single-family homes and make it into a business opportunity. Although this is a hard job, like, you know, this isn't something that, like, once they're allowed, we're going to see a ton of them. But I think it's a great option to provide people, and certainly an option that we get a lot of calls to the chamber about people specifically looking for B&Bs because that's the travel experience they want to have. We have amazing hotels, some of which are walking distance from downtown, but I know that there are some folks that really want that B&B experience, so bed and breakfast experience. So we're looking at that as a potential change. Another potential change is accessory dwellings. And again, another kind of wonky word. And you're like,
yeah, what are accessory dwellings? I know what B&Bs are. I've stayed in them.
Exactly.
I'm not sure I've ever stayed in an accessory dwelling, and I'm not sure I would want to, but I don't know what it is.
That makes me sad because I think this is a great housing option.
It probably is a great
housing
option.
So we need to come up with a new term.
It doesn't sound as cool as bed and breakfast.
Right.
Bed and breakfast. You get a bed, you get a breakfast. Accessory dwelling.
Right.
Okay.
And the kind of casual term for it, I don't care for because it's called granny flat, and as someone that, like, is a young person that could imagine herself living in an accessory dwelling, I don't think we should call them granny flats like they're just for grannies, or you know, like I'm, but of course I'm.
So we're talking about like a separate building on a property.
It could be internal to the home or external to the home, but just changing some of the regulations so we can improve the options for housing, and certainly housing affordability. This could be an option for a caregiver on site to allow someone to age in place. This might be an option where you would rent it out to a student that doesn't need a lot of space, but you know, can't afford the rental market here in Chapel Hill. So this is really just about increasing options. Really, we can look at B&Bs increasing options for travelers and accessory dwellings. I will come up with a better word.
Guest house.
Yeah. Well, but it's a guest house for staying longer. But it's about increasing housing options. So really, this is about increasing options. The other change that we're really looking at is signage. And again, increasing options for businesses to talk about their business. It's not only a marketing purpose, but it's also a wayfinding purpose so that you as a shopper or the visitor can understand where they need to go to find a business. So we're excited about these changes. Certainly want people to know about them, learn about them. And then for the very first time, folks have an opportunity to directly comment on them. They're implementing a new tool where you can log in, create an account, and comment directly on the ordinance. You know, it's almost like taking a teacher's, again, I'm projecting my own anxiety, but it's almost like taking a red pen and making your own corrections. So you can comment directly on the ordinance and on these changes. The deadline for comments is August 15th.
And you can go to townofchapelhill.org/LUMO, that's LUMO, if you want to find out more about the potential changes. There's five different topics that they're looking at. Is it essentially a done deal that they're going to make changes? Is the question of what or what the specifics are going to be? Or is
again,
that still kind of
talking about things that we've been talking for a long time, mm-hmm. like beds and breakfasts. You know, this process started in 2013 with a critique that was done about the current ordinance, saying, you know, this ordinance is confusing. This ordinance has a lot of problems. This ordinance isn't even encouraging the things that you want to see. And so mm-hmm. we're really taking that critique, also taking the values expressed in the comprehensive plan known as Chapel 2020, and putting in kind of, this is where the rubber meets the road. We're trying to, these are changes. Certainly, it's not a done deal. They're getting advisory board comments. They're getting planning commission comments. This will have to be approved by council, but this is just an opportunity for folks to weigh in on some, I think, important changes that are increasing options for visitors, for residents, and for businesses.
Mm-hmm. And again, townofchapelhill.org/LUMO. You want to know more and get in on the conversation. You've got until August 15th. This is a side note, but LUMO would be a great name for a dog, wouldn't it?
LUMO?
Yeah.
Here, LUMO, come on. Yeah, I know.
Any Chapel Hill planning staff person is getting a dog. LUMO would be a great
We're going to have to find some less wonky terms besides accessory dwelling and land use management ordinance. But that's clever. Yeah, maybe my next dog will be. I have a Lila dog, so it would go with the L theme, and I'll have Lila and LUMO. So
awesome. So you mentioned a lot of buzzing business stuff going on. I know we've got to talk about a couple of chamber related events coming up next month. But what else is going on in the business world?
The business world, we're really excited about a new public private partnership called North Carolina for Military Employment. I don't know if you know, but that more than 370,000 working age veterans live in North Carolina, and we're going to see really in the next year, really 27,000 service members are going to transition out and be looking for employment. But this is really an opportunity for businesses to learn about the value of hiring veterans. So the North Carolina for Military Employment is sponsoring a free summit on Tuesday, August 18th at the MetLife Global Technology Campus. Folks may know that MetLife, it was a huge announcement, bringing a lot of jobs to Cary, and they're one of the chief sponsors of this effort. But this is a really exciting way to find out how those that are looking to fill positions in their business, those that are looking to hire, how military employment and hiring veterans really makes a difference in their business.
So do you find that, or do veterans, I guess the better question, find that that it's difficult for people getting out of the service to find employment? Are businesses sort of reticent about hiring? Because I imagine I can't get into the mindset of being reluctant to hire a veteran with all the background, but it seems like that might be an issue with some.
I think it's a translation issue. I think it's about that that those that have served in the military, and we should, I believe, take a moment every day to thank those that have served in the military. But I think their skills, we are incredible, but they are phrased maybe in a resume or in an experience where we don't realize, wow, this would make them really good at this job that
really
I have.
Because they're widely
open.
Applicable
exactly.
to a bunch of different, yeah.
Exactly. And so I think it's just a translation problem. Okay. But I think this hiring summit is about communicating the value of employing veterans. I mean, there's so many different, it's really good business. But I think there's also an opportunity where you can have a hiring fair where employers can talk directly to the veterans. The hiring fairs that they've hosted so far, they've really seen 50% of those who interview get an offer, and so they've seen some real success in connecting employers with different sets of veterans.
So that's in Cary on Tuesday, August 18th. If you want to know more about that, carolinachamber.org is the website. Go there and find out more about all kinds of different chamber and chamber-related events. There's a lot going on in August. The State of the Community report is coming up at the end of the month. Are we already in the process of putting together the 150 slides?
The data dig has started, but just talking about it, the countdown makes me a little nervous. But it's really just an opportunity for us to pause and say, how are we doing as a community? How are we measuring up? How are we planning for the future? And so this is open to the public. It's not just chamber members. It's a great opportunity not only to network with other community leaders, but really to take a deep dive into how we're doing along social, economic, environmental, and health indicators in our community.
And there's always some really fascinating trends and new developments and information that not only did you not know, but you might not have otherwise expected. Information and data that bucks the trends or defies the stereotypes. There's going to be something in there.
There'll be something in there. And really, this is not to make you the most popular person at the cocktail party. There will be a lot of factoids that you'll be able to take away and
this
be able to tell people
and say.
Maybe
the most unpopular person at the cocktail party.
But you'll be able to say, did you know? But it also will help you think, how am I going to plan for my business? Or where should I put my philanthropic dollars? You know, these are decisions that we want to help inform. This is all publicly available information. This is a presentation of data where we are not, we're not a neutral party, but we're not expressing our opinion. We're just trying to present the community with data that can inform their decisions.
Mm-hmm. And also just sort of town and county discussions too. I know one
exactly.
of the things that always jumps out at me, and I've been to a few of these, and it always ends up kind of being the same trend every single year, but we leave the room and forget about it, and we go back to thinking what we've always thought is that the in and out migration in Orange County, because there's a lot of people who live outside the county and work in, and there's a lot of people who live in Orange County and work out, and we always sort of have it in our heads that the people who live outside and move in are the people who can't afford to live in Orange County, therefore they're lower income, and then higher income people live in Orange County and then work. It's actually not really the case. There are a lot of those people, but there's also a lot of people that go exactly the other way.
Exactly.
And it's really fascinating every time, and that never changes from year to year, but it's always the case.
And we know, and we can look deeper at what kind of jobs people are commuting in and out for, but I think from my perspective, I think this is where we would take it one step further, is although we are a region and this in commute, out commute will always be there, I really would love to see a trend towards more people living and working
in Orange County.
Exactly. So I think that's where we're going. But we'll revisit the numbers Tuesday, August 27th. Thursday, August 27th. Thank you, Aaron.
Yep. I wouldn't have said, but Tuesday the 18th, and I'm like, that doesn't add up at all.
Right?
Thursday, August 27th. Yeah, there we go. Thursday at the Friday Center.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Thursday at the Friday Center.
Okay.
Tuesday at MetLife, Thursday at the Friday Center. We hope to see you in August, and we have lots of information to share with you in August.
And I'm looking forward to that. Again, carolinachamber.org if you want more information about either of those. A bunch of other events happening in August as well. Kristen Smith, anything else that people ought to know?
I got one more. I'll save for the next short and sweet business beat. One more August event from a member. Chick-fil-A at University Place. I have to repeat it over and
over
again. University Place.
Not to be confused with University Mall or University Square, neither of which exist anymore. This is confusing.
It's a little confusing. But we'll see you at University Place at Chick-fil-A, 5 to 7, Tuesday, August 11th. They're having a family night. Lots of great bricks for kids is what they're talking about. So a lot of Legos and food available to you. So our members are out there getting out there in the community, and we want to make sure that you know about their different events. So check it out, family night at Chick-fil-A at University Place, Tuesday,
right.
August 11th.
Awesome. CarolinaChamber.org is the website. That's the short and sweet business beat. Kristen Smith, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Aaron.